You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Saturday edition. And we have some breaking news. And I'll turn it over to the Yankee fan, George Kurtz, to let us know.
According to John Heyman, a writer at FanRag Sports, the Yankees have acquired Giancarlo Stanton. That deal is finito. I have no idea what players are going back to Miami. I know the Yankees were discussing Starlin Castro as one of the players going back. I'm sure there'll be some prospects there. The Yankees have been swearing all along the only way they take on Stanton is if they were still assured of getting under the luxury tax. So whether or not that happened or not, we don't know yet. We'll have another hour, Scott, to find out.
Yeah, well, published reports are indicating that the deal is agreed to at least in principle. And this is going to be very, very interesting here. I guess the Yankees want to hold the home run derby every night with Judge and Stanton on the same team. That's ridiculous.
It is. I wonder which one's going to move to left field. You know, they also put, what happens with Brett Gardner here? He's sort of the odd man out, or maybe it's Aaron Hicks is the odd man out. One of those two will play center field. Maybe they platoon in some way. Ellsbury is certainly, if he didn't go to Miami, I don't know what role Ellsbury has here. Maybe the Yankees just release him and eat the cash there. But you're right. It's a home run derby. Personally, as the Yankee fan you mentioned, I think they needed pitching much more than they needed hitting. I wonder if Clint Frazier, Scott, is one of the players going back, because once again, he would not seem to have a place in the Yankees.
Well, look, you can't speculate about what's going to happen in center field or other positions yet, because the offseason is far from over. This could be the first of a few moves. Maybe they're remaking themselves. I don't think Gardner could probably play center field from fantasy purposes, though. It'll be interesting to see what people think about Stanton playing in Yankee Stadium, where he could just hit a short fly ball the other way, and it's out of the park. I mean, how many home runs can this guy hit playing in Yankee Stadium?
Well, if he can hit him in Miami, he can hit him anywhere. So it's going to be interesting there. I mean, how would you like to be a soft tossing lefty facing that Yankee lineup?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, maybe they keep Hicks in center field. Maybe Judge in left, Stanton in right. But if you play in a dynasty NL-only league, this is really hurting you.
Oh, it's a killer. Absolute killer. Yeah, you forget about that sometimes when you're in an only league and one of these big superstars moves to the other side. It's an absolute destroyer.
Yeah, so D. Gordon and Giancarlo Stanton moved on back-to-back days by the Miami Marlins. Is under the new ownership, including Derek Jeter. They're looking to clear some payroll. I know, probably the feeling out of Miami, if they have any fans left, is here's another house cleaning. But they weren't winning with these two guys, and I think the new ownership wants to start over with their own vision.
I agree. I think they're probably doing the best thing in the long run. But if you're a Miami Marlins fan, it's going to suck for now. I mean, it really is. I think the only good news is maybe Jeter will get rid of that monstrosity in left center field. No one's going to hit it now in Miami anyway.
Well, I don't know if there are any Marlins fans, so I don't know if that's an issue. All right. We'll get back to fantasy football for Week 14 coming up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. If you're just joining us, Stanton traded to the Yankees.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Giancarlo Stanton walked his way to New York City. According to published reports, the Yankees and the Marlins have agreed to a trade where Giancarlo Stanton would go to the Yankees. We don't have any details on the players involved. The ESPN was reporting earlier this morning that that Jacoby Ellsbury would definitely have to be included in a salary dump. This should be a big week for Larry Fitzgerald against that Titans pass defense. Don't know if you could start Kerwin Williams. The Jets, 5-7, visits the Denver Broncos. Josh McCown actually has 5 rushing touchdowns. And he's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback all year long. Denver's pass defense has not played well recently. I like McCown as a top 10 fantasy start this week.
Yeah, it's almost like that Denver defense, Scott, is, since the offense went south, they just said, screw it, we can't win anyway, we're done. It's a shame, it shouldn't be that way, but that's what it seems to be to me. That defense is playing nowhere near up to their capabilities. I don't think that changes tomorrow. So I'm with you on Josh McCown there. The Jets, you know, they sort of still have some playoff hopes if they were to win out and get some help there. So that's still something to play for there. But I'll ask you a question about the Jets. Do you trust any of the running backs? Forte, Powell?
No. Can't use any of them in your fantasy playoffs unless you want to lose, unless you play in a bizarro fantasy league. Robbie Anderson, we were talking about him. He was able to practice in full yesterday. Has 6 touchdowns in his past 6 games. To me, he's a must start, George.
I would probably agree. Depends on what else you have. I have been able to sit him in some leagues in some extreme circumstances. There are always cases where you can sit somebody. But overall, I would agree. I think there is some worry here with the hamstring, though, if he has an injury during the game, high altitude and all that. But overall, he's been one of the biggest surprises this season, right? I mean, when you talk about fantasy MVPs, I still think it's Adam Thielen because he was drafted around round 17 on average here. But I think Robbie Anderson deserves a lot of love in that category as well.
Well, Robbie Anderson probably was drafted much later than Adam Thielen, probably at least 3 to 4 rounds later. But you know, Thielen's like right up there and like been the top all year long. So it'd be a fun debate. Jermaine Kearse had 9 catches for 157 yards last week, and is looking and has 4 touchdown catches in his past 4 road games. A little bit of a tougher draw this week for Kearse, who I feel is very boom or bust.
I agree, because last 2 weeks against Carolina and KC, you know, 16 catches, 262, and a touchdown. Before that, though, he hadn't reached 50 yards in a game in 4 games. You know, so it's boom or bust. I agree. I don't like the matchup here. He's in flex consideration for me, but I'm leaning more towards no.
All right, and on the other side of the ball, you don't know what to make of that running back situation. It was a lot of C.J. Anderson last week, 110 scrimmage yards, but that's because Devontae Booker had an illness. So maybe they go for a committee again this week. Emmanuel Sanders has really dropped off. Demaryius Thomas is looking for his 3rd straight home game with a touchdown, but he wasn't too impressive last week either.
The only Bronco I can consider starting is Thomas. And even that, I don't want to, but I can consider it. Sanders, I'm going nowhere near. His numbers of late with Simeon, Oswell, whoever else is just horrendous. No thank you there. The running backs, Booker's a no. Anderson, I mean, listen, are you desperate? He's not in my top 24, so I don't want to go with him here. But flex play, you need a running back, maybe there, but I'm not expecting anything big.
All right. Washington, 5-7. Against the Chargers, 6-6, 4:05 p.m. Eastern at the StubHub Center tomorrow. And Kirk Cousins, you know, he's been good for most of the season, but this is a very, very tough matchup against that Chargers pass defense. And his offensive line is banged up, but I still feel like there's a floor with Kirk Cousins of probably 2 touchdown passes.
I agree, because they're going to have to throw the ball all over the place. They're going to give up points, so they're going to have to put the ball in the air and put it in the air an awful lot. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball with Samaje Perine that much at all. I think Bowser and Ingram are going to control that line of scrimmage, and they're going to make life pretty much hell in the backfield there. I think Kirk Cousins, I mean, and once again, another streaming defense is the Chargers, because I think Cousins will get his, like I said, he'll get his, but I think interceptions are coming. The over-under there is 2. I think there could be some fumbles here, some sacks. So I like the Chargers defense a lot tomorrow, but Cousins goes. I am not going anywhere near Josh Doctson. I think he's going to be covered by Hayward. Crowder, though, could be in play in the slot. And listen, Vernon Davis, I don't know what happened here, Scott, the past couple of weeks, but he's gone right off the radar.
Now, with P. Ryan, he played well his first 2 games. He has 325 scrimmage yards and a rushing touchdown. His past 3 ranks 5th among NFL rookies with 465 rushing yards. But I think P. Ryan is going to be an okay start this week, and I'll tell you why. I think, you know, this team really needs to play ball control. You know, I think schematically that is what they're going to come out with, you know, try to keep that Chargers offense off the field as much as possible. And while you can't throw against the Chargers, well, it's very tough. I think you can run on them, and we've seen that this season. You know, the Chargers actually have given up the most rushing yards in the NFC with 1,311.
But that's not fair because Denzel Perryman only returned a couple of games ago. That rushing defense has played much better since Perryman's returned. And I don't think P. Ryan – I mean, you're probably starting P. Ryan. He's a running back too. I'm just not expecting big things from him. I think they're going to put the ball in the air more often because they'll be behind here. But P. Ryan is a running back too. You more than likely do have to start him. But I'm not seeing big things coming here.
Yeah, checking into what you say over here, over the last 2 weeks the Chargers have actually been fifth best against running backs, 120 yards allowed. Over the last 4 weeks, in terms of rushing yards allowed, though, it's not quite as good. 352 rushing yards allowed, which would put them, you know, just in about the middle of the pack.
Yeah, they've gotten better since Perryman's returned. He's their best inside linebacker. I think the also thing with the Chargers is that, listen, you can't run on them if you're down by 21 points. And Philip Wake, Rivers and Allen have been playing. I mean, that offense has been lights out of late.
Yeah. Well, all right. The offense turned out the lights. Okay.
I might turn out the lights on Cousins tomorrow.
Yeah. You and I had a discussion about that. An offense can't be lights out.
I did it on purpose for you, Scott.
Only a defense can be lights out. Everybody uses that phrase. And you're like, you can't go an episode without me giving one of my pet peeves. People will say like a quarterback plays lights out. A quarterback can't play lights out. Lights out is, you know, here's a little journalism lesson for you people. It's you can only be lights out when you're shutting something else down.
That does make sense. Lights out.
It does make sense, right? Yeah.
Flip the switch.
There's certain things that annoy me. It's just I'm pedantic like that. I'm sorry.
Pet peeves. We all have a list of Scott Engel's pet peeves. I actually have them taped to my board here.
All right. Obviously, on the Chargers side of the ball, Melvin Gordon's a good start. Keenan Allen's a must start. And Hunter Henry is looking for his fifth game in a row with a receiving touchdown versus the NFC. So I think he's a must start here. Vernon Davis has been very up and down, though. You don't know what to make of him.
He's off my board. Mentioned it, though, when talking about Washington. I'm done with Davis. I don't know what happened in the Giant game. He just disappeared. He wasn't – even his routes, he wasn't running them at full speed. Was there an injury that wasn't mentioned here against Dallas, another team that has trouble with the tight ends? He was pretty much invisible there. So I don't know what's going on here. I wanted to put him in there, Scott. I had been putting him in for a team there, but I'm not tomorrow. I'm moving on here.
All right, Seattle at Jacksonville. Check out my preview on Seahawks.com/news/fantasy. Both teams are 8-4 here. The big question this week was about benching Russell Wilson. But, you know, don't get into matchup over analysis. People asking me, should I start Jameis Winston over Russell Wilson? No, you don't bench your fantasy superstars in the most important games of the year. Russell Wilson, 227 passing yards and 3 touchdowns, 118.6 passer rating last week, by far over 25 points. He is the highest scoring quarterback on NFL.com fantasy-wise. Look, he's gotten you this far. You don't bench him. He's my number 2 overall ranked fantasy quarterback on rotoexperts.com. To me, the guy's matchup proof. The big thing to me is there's no other quarterback like him in the NFL in terms of elusiveness behind the line of scrimmage. The Jacksonville Jaguars have not seen a quarterback like this all year.
Yeah, I'll say it over and over again. I think Russell Wilson, if the Hawks get to the playoffs, which it looks like they probably will, I don't see how Russell Wilson's not the NFL MVP. Because if you watch the Seahawks, I mean, he's doing more with less. He has to run around there for his life, and then he makes great plays. He's not just avoiding a bad play. He's making a big play after. It's amazing what he's done. I think you're absolutely right. There's no quarterback like him. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback like him. Maybe you got to go back to the Fran Tarkenton days, which is before my time, to really see what Russell Wilson can do. And I'm not a Hawks fan. I'm a Cowboy fan. But I think what Russell Wilson has done has been absolutely amazing here. I agree. I can't sit him.
Yeah, as a Seahawks fan, so much fun to watch. But look, you can't bench the guy. I just think you can't expect much of a ceiling this week. You definitely expect a floor. It's just less upside, I think, for Russell Wilson this week than in other matchups. We'll talk more about the Seahawks and the Jaguars next here on the Roto Experts Weekend Edition.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Saturday edition, Scott Engel and George Kurtz. Mike Blue will return tomorrow. And we're talking about the Seahawks and the Jaguars. And Mike Davis is interesting because the Eagles have been one of the best teams against opposing running backs, fantasy points against all year long, second best on NFL.com standard scoring, but overall just against any running backs. And last week, Mike Davis had 101 yards from scrimmage against them. The Jaguars are still pretty good against running back, but if you're looking for a flex and maybe you're missing, say, a Joe Mixon, you might be able to go with Mike Davis because, as Joe Galina expertly pointed out a few weeks ago before he was about to get the start, this is a big running back who could also catch passes out of the backfield. We saw last week, that even if he's not going to be able to run the ball consistently, effectively, he's going to get enough touches to be useful.
Yeah, I have no problem with a flex play. I like Mike Davis. I'd probably like him even more if he wasn't against Jacksonville. I think he is their best running back. Also, if anybody waiting on Chris Carson, by the way, can probably close that door. He doesn't look like he's coming back this season. But I agree. Mike Davis, flex play, no issues there. I think the upside's limited. That'd be my only issue.
Doug Baldwin had over 80 receiving yards against the Eagles last week in a big game. Had a big catch and run that set up a touchdown. I don't think he can bench Baldwin this week, but I think it's more of a thing where he's more of a wide receiver, low-end wide receiver two this week.
Yeah, I might even put him in the wide receiver three category. A lot of this is going to go into whether or not Jalen Ramsey plays. He's got an ankle injury. He's listed as questionable for the game here. Didn't practice much this week. My guess is he does play. It's a big matchup, against the Seahawks. I'm sure he wants to get out there. If he were to miss the game, though, I would move Baldwin up to a solid wide receiver two category.
I don't even know if that's going to be a consideration, though, because they're going to move Ramsey into the slot. He might even end up playing on the perimeter.
I think he plays mainly on the perimeter, but I think they will move him around a little bit. They usually, Jacksonville does want to take away the best option for Seattle, which is Ramsey. You can make an argument the best option is Jimmy Graham, but teams rarely do that. I don't know why teams don't do that more, by the way. Put your top cornerback, even if it is the tight end, take him out. I would do it with Travis Kelce every damn time.
Yeah, because Graham is too big for a lot of quarterbacks. Leonard Fournette has 4 rushing touchdowns in his past 5 at home, but this Seattle Pet run defense is so good right now that I don't think he's a top 10 fantasy start, but still It's hard to bench Fournette. He is kind of banged up, but still, if you have him, it's hard not to play him. As far as the wide receivers go, Marquise Lee, 86 receiving yards and a touchdown in Week 13, looking for his fourth game in a row and a touchdown catch. And Dede Westbrook had a career-high 78 receiving yards last week, looking for his third game in a row with six-plus catches. I think you definitely start Lee as a wide receiver, too, but I think Dede Westbrook is a sneaky wide receiver three. Now, the Seahawks are without Chancellor and Sherman. They still have Earl Thomas. I think this secondary has gone from excellent to decent, but I think they still can be burned here and there, especially on Byron Maxwell's side. I think Dede Westbrook is a sneaky wide receiver three play. I'm actually starting him over Devin Funchess in one league.
I agree with you all around, so especially about the Funchess part. Yes, I would start Dede over Funchess as well. You mentioned Fournette. Listen, I agree completely. I don't think he has a big game tomorrow, but I can't sit him. How deep are you at running back if you can sit Leonard Fournette? God bless you. I'm not there. As far as Marquise Lee, must start for me. I have to put him in there. And he sort of took away my thunder there because I agreed about Dede. I think this could be a sneaky week for him where he does some even more damage than last week. I think he's one of those players, Scott, that we had, maybe he was hyped up for so long. And then we forgot about him. Now the hype might be there, and people aren't realizing it. And they're thinking, oh, Seattle, you can't start him. I think you can start him. Once again, I think over Funchess is a perfect scenario.
All right. My lineup ranks are now updated on rotoexperts.com. You can check them out there right now. Also, check out George's matchup rankings. The biggest game of the week. And there's a few good ones tomorrow, George. The Eagles and the Rams. The Eagles 10-2. Had a 9-game winning streak snap last week at Seattle. The Rams are 9-3. Carson Wentz is a must start, I think, no matter who he faces. Zach Ertz is tied for second among NFL tight ends with 7 touchdowns and ranks fourth with 57 receptions and 663 passing yards. Had to leave the game with a concussion last Sunday night. Has not fully cleared the protocol, but it seems like he's trending in the right direction. Every player and every let is different in terms of healing, and every concussion is different. I think you have to roll him out as a must start. And Nelson Aguilar, with a career-high 7 receptions for 141 yards and a touchdown last week, his first career 100-yard game, and looking for his third game in a row with a touchdown catch. I think he's a nice play here, you know, on the interior against the Rams pass defense.
I agree with you there, too. If Ertz starts for Philly, he starts for me. I think it's pretty much that simple. Aguilar won me a playoff week all by himself last week. So thank you, Mr. Nelson Aguilar. So once again, he goes in there for me. Yes, I had a league that started the playoffs in week 12. So I'm good there with Nelson. I think this will be a major high-scoring game. I think there'll be points put up on the board here. I'm always starting Carson Wentz here, starting Jeffrey as well. I think with Philadelphia, the problem is going to be the running game. I mean, I'm not starting Jay Ajayi anymore, which I can't buy. It's shocking to me. You would acquire a running back, you know, and then pretty much not use him. I don't know what Philadelphia is doing here. Are they saving him for the playoffs? Do they not like what they see? Is all of a sudden LeGarrette Blount and Corey Clement just stepped up their game? But Ajayi, to me, is pretty close to unstartable.
Yeah, but you don't know what's happened in that backfield. It's become a full-blown committee. 844-846-8379. That's 844-843-6879. 844-84-FNTSY for your fantasy football questions for week 14. Jared Goff, in his past two home games, averaging 354.5 passing yards per game and 5 touchdowns with 1 interception in that span, aiming for his third straight game at home with 300-plus passing yards and 2-plus touchdowns. It's been a terrific revival year for Jared Goff under this new offense and new coaching staff. But a lot of Goff's really good games have come in friendly matchups. It's not going to be quite as friendly this week. What's your feeling on starting Goff this week?
Yeah, I agree. I think of what you said. The Eagles can be beat on the outside, but I don't know if Goff's going to get a tremendous amount of time to do that. Don't know if I trust Sammy Watkins either on the outside there. So I think he's intriguing, Scott, but I think there are some other matchups where I might want to go with. Like, I'd rather go with McCown over him. I kind of like that better. I wouldn't go Dak over him. But I don't think he's a must-start is where I'm going with this. And he's right in that board of 10 to 14 range, so he's still a quarterback one for me, but it's a very low quarterback one, and I could easily be scared off of him tomorrow.
What about tough matchups for Sammy Watkins, and who's really come on recently after that slow start? and Cooper Kupp. Are these guys still must-starts for you?
No, they're not must-starts. They're going to be in the that wide receiver three mid-range category there. I mean, we like Sammy Watkins also. He's only has 12 catches in the last four games, 13 last five, but he's got four touchdowns. So that's making it fantasy worthy. He's become a touchdown dependent. Can we rely on that tomorrow? I don't know if we can rely on it. So I know. I certainly don't think Watkins is a much start. I sort of like Cooper Kupp as a safer play, better. But even his numbers have trailed off of late. So, you know, I'm worried about that too. He hasn't gotten into the end zone since week seven. You know, he had the big 116-yard game against New Orleans. His catch numbers are there, but the touchdowns are. He's sort of the anti-Watkins. What do you want more? The touchdown guy or the reception guy? I think Kupp is safer. Watkins has a chance to have a bigger game. But either way, I have him in the both. Like I said, mid-range wide receiver three.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Baltimore 7-5. Pittsburgh 10-2. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Sunday night at Heinz Field at the Ketchup Bottle. Alex Collins, 98 scrimmage yards and two rushing touchdowns last week. Looking for his fourth game in a row with a rushing touchdown and rushed for 82 yards in the last meeting. So even though the Steelers' defense looks tough on paper, Ryan Shazier will obviously miss this game. It might be, you can expect at least, I think, adequate production from Alex Collins, who I think is still underrated in a lot of fantasy circles.
I do. Now that he's running touchdowns, I think Collins is close to a must start. He's not a running back one, but he's a solid running back two. You know, so I have no problem starting Collins here. And Ryan Shazier, we certainly wish nothing but the best for him in his recovery. But without him, that Steelers defense is hurting a little bit. Plus, we know how physical that game was against Cincinnati. Really, New England's got to be thrilled, don't they? I mean, Pittsburgh got beat up against Cincinnati. They're going to get beat up against Baltimore. These two teams always play physical. And then the Steelers and New England play each other next week for what's likely to be home field advantage throughout the AFC. So I think this will be a very physical game. I think Collins is, I don't want to say a must-start for me, but once again, you could have better running backs because he wasn't a he may not have been drafted in most leagues. So if you picked it up during the year, I could easily see him being a strong running back three for you. But on most teams that I have, Scott, he goes for me.
All right, and Mike Wallace is, you know, I don't know how many people have noticed this, but he's come on recently, 116 receiving yards last week, looking for his third game in a row with a receiving touchdown. Wallace is actually been pretty efficient recently for fantasy purposes, PPR, etc. And, the Steelers' pass defense actually has allowed the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers over the last four games on NFL.com. Don't be afraid to roll out Mike Wallace as a wide receiver three here, especially with Jeremy Maclin dealing with the back injury.
Yeah, the old revenge game theory to Wallace, the ex-Steeler.
Well, it's his fourth beating since he left there, so, you know, maybe that's in the rear view.
I don't think that's ever in the rear view for Wallace in Pittsburgh. But he's averaging 4.5 catches in the last four games there. The yardage total outside of last week as Detroit hasn't been there. Touchdowns could be. But, yes, I think he's become back into fantasy consideration as well, playing much better of late. And you said it. Flacco has to throw to somebody.
All right, we'll talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers next. If you have any questions, 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning, weekend edition with Scott Engel and George Kurtz.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Man walks down the street, says, "Why am I soft in the middle? And why is Giancarlo Stanton the Yankee?" If you're joined us just on the Roto Experts in the Morning, according to FanRag Sports, the Yankees and the Marlins have agreed to a trade in which Giancarlo Stanton would wear the pinstripes, George Kurtz.
Yeah, this is this also reeks of when George Steinbrenner ran the team. Yankees don't get Ohtani. He says he doesn't want to play out on the East Coast. So hey, we'll go out and get the next big guy. You know, this also means, Scott, that the Yankees, I have to assume, will not be in on the Bryce Harper sweepstakes next year.
Yeah, that's something I didn't think of. You know, a lot of Yankee fans were waiting for Bryce Harper to be that next domino to fall next season, and instead they get Stanton a year earlier. For fantasy purposes, though, really, how much does his value change in going to a different league? You have to, adjust to different pitching, but it is a smaller ballpark.
I think Stanton will be fine here. Actually, it's funny. Left field, Nick Stanton is one of the biggest in the majors, but right field certainly isn't. I think Stanton is going to be – listen, if you can hit the ball out of Marlins Park, you can hit it out of anywhere. I don't think Stanton's afraid at all. The adjustment to pitching will have to be something he does have to get used to. There'll be a lot more off-speed pitches coming. Very few pitches are going to challenge him.
Yeah, well, the MVP just got traded. I guess that's your reward for being an MVP. Goodbye. All right, let's get back to talking.
This case might be a very good reward.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, here you go. Ben Roethlisberger has 10 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions for a 112.2 rating in his past 3 home games. He's looking for his 4th in a row at home with a 105-plus rating, and the Baltimore Ravens are going to be without their top cover corner, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, Smith is out for the year with the Achilles. Would have been suspended anyway as he failed a PED test, I believe. Still, I'm not loving Ben in this game. Baltimore's still a very good defense. No Juju Smith-Schuster either. I think this is going to be one of those games, 20-17. Somewhere. This is the same games these two teams always seem to play. Hard hitting, good football. But I don't have Ben in my top 12, even though it's at home for Pittsburgh. Obviously, Brown and Bell are going to go here. I think it comes down to Martavis Bryant. You know, how good do I feel about him? No Schuster. You mentioned no Smith as well. A lot of attention being paid to Antonio Brown. Can I possibly sneak Bryant into my roster?
Martavis Bryant doesn't seem like it's as much of a ceiling anymore, though. Like, he's not just – he hasn't been able to hit those big plays all year long.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I can't see myself going. Maybe in a better matchup I could, or in the bye weeks, but in a full slate here, I agree with you. I don't see much upside here. I won't be starting Bryant.
Monday Night Football, New England and Miami. Rex Burkhead had 103 scrimmage yards with 2 rushing touchdowns in week 13, looking for his 3rd game in a row with 2-plus touchdowns. And, this guy has turned into the real goal line back for one of the best offenses in the NFL and pretty much a guy that you got to start every week.
I agree. I don't see how you can. I mean, he's scoring touchdowns, a lot of them. And I think this could be another game where New England scores 30-plus points here. I'm wondering how they're going to attack Miami without Gronk. Let me ask you this question, Scott. Chris Hogan,
sure.
If he plays, and let's say we know Hogan's going to play by tomorrow morning before lineups lock. Do you automatically have to put him in your lineup because no Gronk and there's a good chance they're going to use the outside wide receivers?
I think, with some of your top guys, and this guy was arguably like a top 12 fantasy wide receiver before he was hurt. With your top guys, I think you're active. You play him. Inside injuries on rotoexperts.com is cautioning about using him because they're saying he's 1 week ahead of his optimal recovery time. But I think I would have to play Hogan. I think with all the weeks that he's missed, I don't think the Patriots wouldn't put him out there if he wasn't ready.
I agree, right? Belichick always, he doesn't. If you're not ready, fine. I'll find somebody else who can do the job. So I agree with you there. I think if he plays, odds are he's in my lineup as well. Burkhead, Deion Lewis starts for me. There's no chance of starting Dwayne Allen, right?
No. But Kenyon Drake, I'm considering because career high 129 rushing yards and a touchdown in week 13. 100-plus scrimmage yards in 2 of his past 3 home games, looking for 3rd game in a row with a TD, and had a touchdown reception in his last meeting with the Patriots. No matter what the game script is here, if Miami's able to somehow stay in the game, I think, it's because he's going to be running the ball effectively. But if not, with no Damian Williams there, he can be catching passes out of the backfield. So I like Kenyon Drake a lot this week.
Well, me too. He's a running back, too. I don't see how you're not starting him. Once again, Miami, we assume they're not going to try and get into a shootout with New England, so they're going to try and run the ball and control the clock somewhat. Do I think that's going to work? No, but you mentioned it. They'll catch the ball in the backfield, which might even be better. So, yeah, I think Drake is an automatic go for you there. Landry goes for me. I like Kenny Stills as well.
Why do you like Kenny Stills? 98 receiving yards and a touchdown last week. Also has five touchdowns in his past six divisional games. In his past two or three of the past meetings, he has scored against New England.
Yeah, I mean, you throw all those in. I think the Miami's going to be trailing. I think they're going to have to throw. Devontae Parker's taking a huge step back. Talk about somebody who doesn't look interested. Like, he just doesn't want to play football this season. He just wants to go home. Parker doesn't start for me in a million years tomorrow, Monday night. But, yeah, I like Kenny Stills a lot. I think he gets on the board again. I think you're looking at 10-plus points.
Here's the thing, though, why I don't like Stills so nearly as much as you is because, you know, this New England defense has really turned up its play recently. And, you know, they don't take their foot off the pedal and let you play catch up necessarily when you're behind. They'll just keep trying to stomp you into the ground.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to stop Stills, though. If they keep scoring, I think that's fine. I have no problem. New England can score all the points they want. I think that's better for Stills and or Landry, for that matter. They'll be forced to throw, too. So I'm not really worried about that. I think they're going to put the ball in the air.
All right. So that pretty much wraps up, you know, our game-by-game previews for Week 14. And if you have any more calls here, we'd be glad to take them at 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. It's time to talk about the mentality, though, that, you know, you have to have going into the playoffs. It becomes a real danger because I think people feel more pressure than ever before, that they really tend to overthink things. You know, the Russell Wilson benching possibly is a good example of it. You can't overthink it. All you can do is set your best possible lineup and go from there. And you really can't. The danger right now is matchup over analysis, where you're going to say, okay, should I start a Jameis Winston over Russell Wilson just based on the matchup? You have to start your players that got you there. You can't just go based on the matchup.
I think you have to start your best players. I mean, if I'm playing Scott Engel, I'm not looking at Scott Engel's roster. I don't care who Scott Engel's starting. Okay, he's going to start his best players. I'm going to start mine. So that's the way I approach it. The only time I would look at your roster would have been at Fab deadline. You know, ooh, Scott had Gronkowski. He's a tight end here. Then I might have claimed some tight ends to try and screw you over. But other than that, I never care about who's on the other person's team. I think there, like I said, there is a chance I could bench a Mike Evans this week if I have better players around him. So I don't think you necessarily have to start the players that got you there. But I think you need to start your best overall players that give you the best chance to win. The guy's going to score you the most points. I always think that's by far the most important. And by the way, I got a text from our own Mike Blewett here. He wants us to rank Gio Bernard, Duke Johnson, Frank Gore.
It's very close for me, but I'd probably go Duke Johnson, Gio Bernard, Frank Gore. The Packers give up a lot of catches to opposing running backs.
I agree. It is close. I have it a little reversed. I have Bernard over Duke Johnson. I like Bernard a lot more. I like Bernard a lot this week, but I like Duke Johnson as well for the reason you mentioned here. I just think the Packers are pretty terrible on defense here. So there you go, Mike. I have it as Bernard, Duke. Scott has it as Duke, Bernard. We both have Gore finishing last there.
Yeah, we have separate answers again. We're really helping people here.
But if we all had the same thought process, it'd be boring.
It would be boring, but you know, I believe, you know, ultimately it's your team. Whoever's listening, you know, you got to make the final decision. It's on you. We got to give you the best advice in order to make that decision, and then you can just go from there. What I was basically saying is, you know, go with the guys that got you there. I'm talking about your superstars. I think you don't bench your superstars just based on a tough matchup. And I think people tend to overthink things in other ways as well. You know, they'll say something like, I got this kind of question on Twitter this week where it said, well, the other guy's got Brady. If Hogan plays, should I use him to maybe cancel out Brady? And look, like you said, I don't care about the other guy's lineup. You can't control who they start and what they're going to produce, but that's really overthinking it, because if you start Hogan and somehow cancel out Brady, that doesn't happen, because Brady could still throw three touchdown passes. Maybe not a single one goes to Hogan.
Right. That works out great if we know that Hogan's going to catch all those touchdown passes. But you're right. We get questions like that all the time. Or do I start my defense if I have a player on that defense? Or do I start a certain defense if the other guy has a player on that defense? Will they cancel each other out? Start your best players. I mean, it's really that simple here. You don't want to overthink things too much. But people always panic. I mean, I've gotten the same question in the Roto Experts answer queue. From the same guy, four different times, same question. And he knows the same question, but he's asked it every day. And I get it. The information can change at times, but it's like, after a while, I want to say to him, do you expect me to change my answer here just to give you some different players? It is what it is, but people worry too much. Just start your best players.
All right. That's certainly what you have to do. Yeah, but people say that to me all the time, should I start this guy because the other team has that guy? Even the scoring's different. So I think it's way overthinking it. If Hogan gets a touchdown reception, it's 6 points where it's only 4 points for Brady. But, the scoring's totally different. Worry about your own team is what I'm trying to say, although I took a long-winded route to get to it. All right, we'll play a little either or. Coming up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, weekend edition with Scott Engel and George Kurtz.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Little Bon Jovi. A little controversy in rock and roll circles this week. Bon Jovi beat out Judas Priest for the fan vote for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, George.
I don't know if I have a big issue with that. They both probably deserve to be there.
I think so. But a lot of people don't like Bon Jovi because they think they were a pretty boy hair band. But I liked a lot of their music.
So did I. I think Runaway is one of my favorite songs as far as overall. So
In and Out of Love, they both the same album, too. Yeah. All right. Let's do a little. That's a great one. All right. Let's do a little either or here. And you can check out my lineup ranks updated on rotoexperts.com right now. George, Josh McCown or Jared Goff?
I'm going to go McCown now. I'm going to go Josh McCown. I think he'll throw the ball a little bit more. I like Goff as well, but I got McCown two spots higher.
Yeah, I actually have McCown at 8 and Goff at 9. Jameis Winston or Derek Carr?
I'm going to go Carr here. I just don't trust Winston right now. And I wonder if Darius Slay is going to take out Mike Evans here. I don't know. I think it's because I'm mad at him, Scott. I'm very mad at Winston and Mariota because I think they sunk a lot of my team. I played a lot of two quarterback leagues, and I'm blaming them for my season.
Yeah, I'm going Winston over Carr. The Chiefs play better at home. Carr's been a big disappointment this week and this year. And, I don't even know this matchup with these two teams being familiar with each other. I just have a bad feeling on Carr. But matchup-wise, I still have him 12th. Jimmy Garoppolo or Kirk Cousins?
Cousins. Still going Cousins there. Might feel differently if Garoppolo had just one reliable wide receiver to throw to here. Cousins, I know, is going to put the ball in the air a ton, so I'll go Cousins here.
I'm pretty much doing the same thing. Alfred Morris or Marshawn Lynch?
Ooh, I think Dallas got to run the ball a whole bunch. I still don't trust Dak. I think he's still slumping there. I'm going Alfred Morris. I think Dallas can once again try to establish that run game. Giants have beat up on D. Give me Alfred Morris.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Morris because I think he gets more yardage, although I'm very encouraged about Lynch. My lineup ranks right now, rotoexperts.com. I got Morris number 8 and Lynch number 10. Kenyon Drake or Jordan Howard?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I think Howard's the better back, but he's done so little here. I think Cincinnati's going to force Chicago to do anything else but run the ball with Howard to beat them. Give me Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, I'm going Drake, too. I am 4 spots ahead of Howard, though. Without Shazier, though, Howard does have some potential this week. Samaje Perine or Giovanni Bernard?
Gio, I think so. I think Melvin Ingram and Bosa are going to control that line of scrimmage. I think Perine will have an okay day, but I don't see the upside there. I think Gio, with his ability to catch the ball and run the ball, I think he has a nice day there. I got Gio.
I'm going to go Perine here.
Boo.
I think they need to play ball control, but I'm right next to each other. Here's an interesting one. Frank Gore or Latavius Murray?
That is an interesting one. I'm going to go, give me Latavius Murray. I think he gets into the end zone, but I have a funny feeling I'm going to be wrong about that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go Frank Gore actually here. I think it's a very good matchup for him and a tougher one for Murray. Marquise Goodwin or Doug Baldwin?
Baldwin. I think, once again, Wilson's going to make those plays where he runs around and finds somebody. I think Baldwin's going to end up being on the receiving end of one play that we just can't believe.
Yeah, I got him 2 spots ahead. One final one for you, Dez Bryant or Stephon Diggs?
Boy, Diggs has been slumping as well. I think Dez gets at the end. The Giants are really beat up. No Janoris Jenkins, Eli Apple may be out. Dez will score a touchdown. Give me Dez.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dez, too. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. Myself, Mike Blewett, and Joe Pisapia on the Roto Experts in the Morning.